genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brains.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work here in Ventura. If all of that sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, but before we get to today's theme, I do have a big shout-out. Big shout-out to Roger Bland down there at ATRA. ATRA stands for the Automatic Transmission Repair Association. Thank you for being a loyal listener, Roger. Appreciate it very much. And folks, if you haven't checked out the ATRA website, you owe it to yourself to go there. If you own a car, they've got valuable information up there for car owners. That's ATRA.com is their website. Now on to today's theme. Our theme for the day is yesterday and today. My guests will be talking about interesting stories in the news either today or in the past. My first guest is a financial guru who will recap the first quarter of 2011 in the financial markets. We're beginning to see patterns emerging in the markets for 2011. We'll examine these patterns with him. My second guest is the creator and host of one of CNBC's most highly rated documentaries, Marijuana Incorporated. We'll go inside the hazy world of marijuana on 420. Yes, there is a pun there, folks, to expose California's number one cash crop from her latest book, Joint Ventures. My third guest has led a remarkable life. He was born in France. He was recruited by none less than Winston Churchill to spy on the Germans during French occupation. He rose to become one of the Allies' top espionage agents during the war. We'll discuss his real-life adventures captured in his book, Churchill's Secret Agent. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. My regular listeners know Ken Winans for his insightful, profitable financial advice. Ken is a successful investment manager, entrepreneur. He's an award-winning author. He's an active philanthropist and a renowned collector of space memorabilia. He's the president of Winans International, an investment company and fund manager. He's a regular guest on various TV and radio shows, including CBS affiliate KNX here in Los Angeles. Ken is a business historian as well as a financial guru. In October of 2009, he became a senior portfolio manager for the Winans Long Short Fund, ticker symbol ETFMX, and we'll talk to him about the performance of his Long Short Fund during the interview. He has a bachelor's degree in business and economics from the University of San Diego. He's a master's in finance from the University of San Francisco. He and his wife live in the San Francisco Bay Area. Ken, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Hey, Bill, I'm doing great. How have you been?
Well, I am doing terrific. Glad to have you back on. I love to have you back on to recap first quarter, second quarter, and also to talk about earnings season, which is what we'll get to in just a minute. But let's take a look at some of the asset classes, and I just want to run down the performance so far since the last time you were on the show. Mm-hmm. And for my listeners who are regular listeners know, you were on at the end of January. The Dow at the end of January sat at 11,824. Today, before trading began, it's now 12,266 before trading began. That's an increase of about 3.74%.
Mm-hmm.
The S&P, same thing. It was at 1276 when you were last on the show. Today, it's at 1312. That's a 2.82% increase. And the NASDAQ was at 2687. Today, the NASDAQ is 2745 at the beginning of trading. That's an increase of 2.13%. And I understand that the market is doing well today, so that those numbers are even higher.
Mm-hmm.
Commodities, this is where the interest is. Commodities, gold was at 1324. Today, at the beginning of trading, it was at an all-time high, $1,503. Gold is up 13% just in that short time you haven't been on the air with us. Mm-hmm. Oil went from $88 to where it is today, $109. That's a 23% increase. The U.S. dollar index, you know I'm a dollar hawk, fell from 77.75 to 74.35. That's down 4%. And the VIX, which is a measure of volatility, went from where it was a high on the 16th of March, a 31, down to where it was yesterday at 18.3. A lot of confusing data there, but what it shows me is that the indices are up, commodities are up even more. This is very confusing financial data, especially when you consider the externalities that have been going on. Help us make sense of this, Ken.
Well, I'll just add one other one there as well. That, you know, real estate during that time, national housing prices have fallen dramatically since that, since the last time we talked as well. The, you know, basically housing, according to at least the research we do, we are at basically four-year lows on national housing levels. So, as you say, it's that old Clint Eastwood movie, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. There certainly is a mix here, financial. But that's also when that kind of situation breeds opportunities. And for people who are serious investors, there's always somewhere to go. But you've got to be careful and be on top of things. So let's start off with the dollar.
Okay.
You know, and certainly we're all concerned to some degree, especially with the news that came out earlier this week that Standard & Poor's is possibly, if our government, and at least the federal government, doesn't get its act together, is going to move us out of the AAA credit rating, which would, bottom line for us, mean that as the government tries to refinance debt, you know, now $14 trillion and counting, it would cost the government more money, which means that there is less money for to fix some of the other problems they have with Medicare, and certainly Social Security and things like that. So that, and there again lies an issue with that we could look at higher borrowing costs in this country. It also means the dollar could be in a situation. But here's the thing we've got to remember. If you're a stock investor, is a low dollar necessarily a bad thing for you? Well, it depends on which groups you're in. If you look at some of the earnings coming out of the industrial companies, I'm talking about the exporter, and I know many people don't think that we're manufacture anything anymore. Well, I'll throw out a couple of names like United Technologies, 3M, Caterpillar Tractor. These are all very large manufacturers who export. Well, at this point, the cost of goods or raw materials to make their products has not offset the benefit of the low currency. So the bottom line is their exports are increasing, especially to a Europe that has a very high euro and a very, very, shall we say, unstable situation economically.
That's very true and very positive, Ken. We're talking to Ken Winans. But let me present the counterside of that argument, because most of us aren't exporters. The weak dollar means that oil prices are going up because oil is denominated in U.S. dollars. So the $105 barrel that we're seeing right now, in $109 a barrel we're seeing in oil, part of that increase is not because of an increase in demand for oil. It's because the weaker dollar has made the price go up. And we're seeing that in other commodities as well, which hit us in the pocketbook as consumers.
Absolutely. And tragically, the other part of the remedy that many states are considering is raising the gas tax, including California. So we could see the price of the pump go up with a combination of not just, as you said, the low dollar bill, but also tax policies. You know, the currencies go up and down. And, you know, one of the my pet peeves I have right now, I hear some of the people make these pronouncements that the dollar has never been this low. That's not true. The dollar was actually lower in 2008 than it is today, and the dollar is roughly in an area it was in 1993 and 1990. If you trivia question wanted to ask, what was the lowest point for the dollar? It was during the Civil War.
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah, way, way down. But so with that being said, it doesn't change the fact that it hurts when you go to fill up a car right now at the pump. If you have this continue for a long period of time, and long just being, you know, just another 12 months, of continuous prices, I think that it could cause the fragile economic recovery we have to slow down dramatically. So it's not that you want to turn your back on the dollar and have our government go completely crazy. I think we should all view this S&P credit warning as a blessing that might force the government to make, you know, changes quicker. But with that being said, what you're going to want to be looking for is the net impact that it has. When you're looking at just stocks, the net impact that you have between these higher energy costs possibly putting wage pressure, not, and by the way, not giving someone a salary increase because they're productive, but just simply having to pay people more to keep them at the status quo. If you have that combination kick in, that's when you get real inflation. That's what we had in the 70s, and that's an awful mess to clean up.
It is. We're talking to Ken Winans, CEO of Winans International, one of my favorite financial guys to bat around financial ideas. And, Ken, a lot of what we're saying, if listeners were just tuning in, they might think, oh, this is kind of negative. I mean, we're talking about a weak dollar. We're talking about rising prices. We're talking about inflation. I want to come back with a little bit more positive slant, especially on the stock markets.
Okay.
And that is this. Dow is up 3.7% since you were last on. S&P is up 2.8, and NASDAQ is up 2.1% since you were just last on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing that is so remarkable to me. Think of the external events that we have weathered since the last time you were on the show. Just to name three major events in three foreign countries. We had the uprisings in Egypt, which have come and gone. We've had the uprisings in Libya and that continuing civil war. And we've had the earthquake, tsunami, and reactor meltdown in Japan. All three of those events on any given day at any other time in history may have devastated the stock markets.
Mm-hmm.
But in this short three-month period that we're looking at, the stock market has actually gone better. Your thoughts on that?
Well, and I hate to correct you on one. You're forgetting another big natural disaster. Well, look at what happened in New Zealand. Two major quakes in what, 4 months apart?
Yes, that's right.
And by the way, New Zealand's a major ally and a major trading partner of the United States. So, it's hurt several people. Don't forget about what happened in Chile with their major quake. So it's hit several of our major trading partners. But you know, Bill, it's funny. I always call it the market climbs a wall of worry. And it was actually the title of my client letter that went out this last quarter. And we have to be careful to not let the headlines dictate a solid investment strategy. Certainly, it doesn't mean you dig your head in the sand and forget about it, but the market has a way of leading headline news. And I think it is quite astounding that you have had happen, and the fact that the market figured out a way to blow it off and to move ahead. And now, it doesn't mean that it went straight up. You and I know there were certainly volatility during that time. But I think that most people would have said, if you had said that we were going to have this happen last November and that the S&P 500, you know, year to date would be up 5.6% without dividends, that the Dow would be up 7%. And then, in fact, interesting to note, the U.S. market is outperforming a lot of the foreign markets when you would even adjust it for the low dollar. I think most people have said, you're crazy. There's no way that could be happening. But remember, this is a liquidity rally. This rally in the equity markets, i.e. stocks, is driven because our government has pumped so much liquidity into the system. So if someone asks me what am I the most worried about, at some point this liquidity spigot's going to have to be turned off, and I think it's happening sooner than later. And I know that we're going to eventually talk about it, but my number one bugaboo out there right now is the whole situation with municipals.
Yes.
I'm talking about municipal bonds.
Yes.
You know, we are, and you know, I don't use too many absolutes. To me, we know two things are certain in California. We will at some point have another major earthquake, and we will at some point have a major municipal bankruptcy in the state. I'm not talking about the state government. I'm talking about cities and counties and school districts and redevelopment agencies and all these things that most people who own municipal bonds own. We're going to have this happen, and I think there are going to be some biggies that are going to go down. And I think the sooner that they go into bankruptcy, the better, so we can fix them.
Well, that's an interesting prediction from Ken Winans, CEO of Winans International. Ken, that's a whole show unto itself, and I will have you back in the future to talk about that. But what I want to talk about today, a little bit more detail, is earnings season. We're going into, and we're just beginning, earnings season for the first quarter of 2011. The earnings season for the fourth quarter of 2010 was very strong. And the earnings season's kicking off right now. AT&T announced today solid earnings, despite losing the exclusivity of the Apple iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
United Technologies, which you mentioned before, is a major exporter. They had raised their full-year earnings estimate, which is good. Philip Morris, which is known in this country as Altria, very strong. Abbott Labs, Yahoo, were in line or surpassed expectations. In fact, of the 191 companies that have reported, so far 91 were positive, 34 were negative, and only 2 were neutral. So
mm-hmm.
Give us your prediction for the balance of the first quarter earnings. What's it going to be? And in particular, let's talk about tech, because tech earnings come out today with Apple and IBM.
Absolutely. Well, first off, let me tell you, let's start with the bad. I think you're going to continue to have bad or mixed numbers from the banks. I mean, a good, you know, we talked about the positive earnings. Well, Wells Fargo posted today, and the stock's down 5% on the day. Bottom line is, it's not that it's back to, many people assume that if you have bad news from the banks, it means, oh my gosh, they're going into bankruptcy. It's none of that. It just simply, I think that we're realizing that they have a huge anchor in the case of mortgages that are still being left unresolved. Their top line growth was a little light. So right now, the name of the game for earnings season is going to be companies have to show growth in revenues and they have to show growth in earnings. There's no more mulligans here. You better produce or your stocks are going to get whacked. It's been interesting that in tech land is certainly no difference. You know, IBM posted yesterday. Now, IBM was generally okay, but there was a little bit of a weakness in their service contract sector. No questions asked. The stock, I think, ended yesterday down 3%. Although it's a holding of ours, I'm going to continue to hold it. But, again, there was a miss there. There's actually a small tech company called DST, and I know that's not a name that rings off the bell. They make financial accounting software. Well, whatever it is, the accountants aren't buying their products right now because the stock missed its numbers, and no questions asked, the stock was down 8%. We're going to have that kind of earnings season, even amongst tech. So we're going to certainly have Apple coming out. We're going to have some news coming from go down the list, Amazon, Adobe, Micros Technology, which
Google.
There's a lot more to come, but bottom line, it should be good for tech.
Ah, that's good. And speaking of good news, you yourself are a fund manager for the Winans Long Short Fund, ticker symbol ETFMX. How's that been doing in the first quarter?
Well, I got to tell you, last year was a challenging year, but we have turned it around really from September of last year on. We're extremely happy with the performance, and the fund actually finished up net to the investors 6.3% at the
wow.
end of March. And it's doing well. I don't have it calculated as of today, but we're definitely on a good track. What we're real happy about is that Google Finance, and again, I have to disclose that, you know, we don't work for Google. They don't work for us. They generated these numbers on their own. They show us having a beta of 0.1, not one, Bill, 0.1, which means close to zero, and basically an alpha of 1.3. So we're really happy that in the category that we're in, which is supposed to be lower volatility, but perform when the market's giving you the opportunities, our strategies are working well. And then for that matter, I'm very happy with our separate managed account business at Winans International. Our stock portfolios are up 5.1 net of fees and commissions in the first quarter. So
awesome.
We're firing on all cylinders right now at Winans.
Well, that is rock solid performance. Congratulations to you and your team for that. If people are interested in learning more or hearing more about what you have to say, learning more about your products and services, Ken, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, the best place to go is to our company website for Winans International, which is Winans, W-I-N-A-N-S, international.com. That will take them to our company website. If you're interested on me, as you mentioned, my books and the philanthropic work that we do, go to kenwinans.com for the expanded breakup on that. But, Bill, here's the other thing to keep in mind, and I just want to say this real quick. You know, while we're talking about we're all patting ourselves on the back on a very solid first quarter, we've got to be very careful. I've heard people call this a bull market. I do not believe this is a bull market. If anybody looks at a chart of the S&P 500, we've been trading sideways for the last 11 going on 12 years. I have no reason to believe we're going to break out of this. Until you put the construction guys back to work and you get real estate back on track, I don't think you can make a case for the S&P 500 hitting 1,600 or 1,700. That's just not going to happen without those things coming into play. But in the meantime, there's clearly money to be made if you're astute with dealing with these kind of market conditions.
Well, sound financial advice from Ken Winans, President and CEO of Winans International. Ken, thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Sounds good, Bill. Take care.
Great.